Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Ready today to continue our sermon series. In your Bibles, we're going to be in the New Testament book of Matthew in chapter 6. But the sermon series, the four-part series called How to Respond to Uncertain Times. Today, we're going to take a look at a portion of what I believe to be the greatest sermon ever preached. Now, we call this the Sermon on the Mount. And it's found, the text we're going to use today, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. But before I introduce the word we're going to be zeroing in on this morning, let me get started in this way. Whenever we face uncertain times, there is a sense in which it's like going through physical pain. When we are hurting physically, we have a natural tendency to become just a little bit self-centered. And that's understandable because we want to get rid of the pain, right? If we're going through physical pain. Well, the same thing is true in regard to other forms of uncertain times. I worry about me. I become consumed with today, with right now, with my needs and my wants. Sometimes we begin to think in terms of survival. Am I going to get through this? Am I going to be able to protect what I have? Now, the problem comes when we become so focused on our needs during our uncertain time that we lose sight of the big picture. And that is what life is really all about. We miss the fact that God may be up to something and he may want us to be a part of it. And that's why we're going through uncertain times. I want you to think about this. When Jesus showed up here on earth and he began to teach the multitudes, he was surrounded by people who felt like their needs were so great that they couldn't get past them. Now, I want you to put yourself in those shoes for a moment. Think about what it must have been like to be a Jew living in and around Jerusalem in the first century. They were being taxed by an unjust Roman government with no means of being represented fairly. They were being led by hypocritical religious leaders who were following tradition instead of God's law, and they had sold out to Rome. They had had their land and their wealth stolen from them, and the majority of them were poor, and there seemed to be no justice. They felt abandoned by God. And so Jesus comes to put the uncertainty of that day in proper perspective. And the word he uses in our text, the word we want to study today in order to properly respond to uncertain times, is the word seek. So we're going to get into Matthew chapter 6. We're going to discuss what we are to seek right after we ask God for his help as we go to him in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the salvation you have given us through your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your word, which teaches us so many truths. And Lord, for these few weeks, we've been talking about your truth as it relates to how we should respond when we're going through those uncertain times that we all face once in a while. And it's not easy, but your word teaches us some things that I believe will help. And so today, Father, I need your help as we talk about what it means to seek as we go through those uncertain times of life. Thank you again for your word and for Jesus' teaching. I know it's going to challenge us, but Lord, when we follow your word, you will help us get through every uncertain time that we face, and we praise you for that. So would you please use me in a way that would be pleasing to you? Give us your wisdom and understanding, and help us to grow even stronger in our faith when we face those uncertain times in our lives. Bless your word. Give us your wisdom and understanding. We will give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me give just a real quick background here. What's happening, this powerful sermon given by Jesus in Matthew's version actually begins in chapter 5. Jesus is challenging his listeners about the motive behind their actions. That's the main theme throughout Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And when we get to chapter 6, Jesus begins to emphasize the importance of thinking about things from an eternal perspective. And what he had just finished talking about is the right perspective about money. He knew if he could get people to think eternally about their money, everything else would follow. So even though the people he was addressing had certain physical needs, as we do, and some of our physical needs can be met by using money, Jesus challenged them and he challenges us. Here's the first point I want to make today. This is what Jesus is teaching in his Sermon on the Mount. Don't worry about your needs. So let's start reading. First part of verse 25. Jesus said, "For this reason, I say to you." What reason? Now you got to remember, Jesus had just finished encouraging his listeners to approach life from an eternal perspective. And he states in verse 24 that a person cannot have two masters. You can't serve God, our eternal focus, and money, our temporary focus. You can't serve them both, he said. For this reason, that is. Since you cannot serve both God and money, here is my command. Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Jesus is teaching us that we are not to let those types of things consume our thoughts and emotions. He's not calling us to be irresponsible, but as we learn from what Paul said in Philippians 4, we are to depend on God, to turn our worries, our fears, our uncertainties, our anxieties over to him. And then Jesus immediately now sets up two categories of need that sometimes we get anxious about. The two categories of needs we're not to worry about are these. First of all, I'm calling them critical needs. Things pertaining to survival, like eating and drinking. I mean, some of us are worried at that survival level, both economically and physically. We ask ourselves questions. Will I be able to make ends meet? Will I be able to put food on the table? Will I be able to pay the rent? Will I find a job? Will I keep my job? Okay, those are critical needs of life. And then the other category of needs might be described as non-critical needs, things pertaining to appearance. Now, some of us get so worried about how we look and how we appear to others. We're concerned about what we wear to enhance our reputation. Will I be recognized if I go out in this set of clothing? Will I make the sale? Will I get the deal? Will I ever own a home? Where am I going to find a dress for this event? Well, then Jesus asked a very penetrating question at the end of verse 25. The question was this: is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What is life all about? Is life about simply surviving and looking good in the process, or is there something more? I was thinking about this myself this week. I got to share this. It's challenging to me. If someone were to follow you around for a week and they listened in to all your conversations and they had access to your checkbook and they had access to your credit card statement, would that person conclude that life for you is simply surviving and trying to look good in the process? Is that where your time, energy, and focus are? Do they consume your thoughts? Now, while you're thinking about that, Jesus now offers a little bit of perspective on our needs. He gives us two illustrations to put our critical and non-critical needs in proper perspective. So here's the first point he makes. God feeds the birds, meeting their need of survival, critical needs. See what he says, verse 26. Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the sky, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they?" Now think about it. The birds have all their critical needs met without worrying about it, because our Heavenly Father feeds them. See, they don't survive merely by instinct. It is God who established the food cycle. He established the migration patterns of birds and other things necessary for those birds to survive. And then Jesus asked the question, aren't you more important than birds? What's the answer to that? It's a rhetorical question. Yes, you and I are more important than birds. So, therefore, you don't need to worry. Providing food is no problem for God. Again, he's not advocating irresponsible living, just stress-free living. We are to do what we know to do and trust God to fill the gaps. And then next, Jesus says, God clothes the lilies, taking care of their appearance, non-critical needs. Look at verses 28 through 30. Jesus continued, and why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. And so the emphasis here is not survival, it is appearance. With no effort at all, lilies look great. I was thinking about this week. Have you ever seen flowers with colors that don't go together? Think about it. God is an expert in fashion design and at making things look good. He has created so much beauty in this world in which he's given to us. The point is, if God gave this much attention to detail on a plant that's going to die in a few days, then what uncertainties do we have to fret about? That's the point. Jesus wants to remind us that God thinks we, you and I and everybody else, are very important to him. He loves us. We're more important than the birds of the air. We're more important than the lilies of the field. We're more important than the food we eat. We're more important than the clothes we wear. Because life is so much more than that. And then, Jesus chooses a different word to drive home his point. And here's the point. Main point number two, Jesus said, be careful about what you seek. Jesus is comparing what we should not be seeking with what we should be seeking. So let's read verses 32 and 33. He continues, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. So in verse 32, Jesus is telling us, don't spend all your time seeking those critical and non-critical needs. That's what people who do not trust in God do. Now, I want you to listen here for a moment, because this is very, very important. And that is the understanding of what Jesus is talking about when he uses this word seek. The root word for seek doesn't just mean to look for, okay? It's deeper than that. It means to concern yourself with, to focus on, to strive after. Now, I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this. I think I finally came up with one. And even if you don't play golf, I think you'll get this. Now, many of you know that I like to go out on the golf course and play once in a while. I like to play more, but I don't get to play as much as I would like to. But when I'm out there on the golf course, by the way, I don't consider myself a golfer. I would call it a hacker. I get my money's worth when I'm out there. There's very seldom a round goes by that I play on the golf course that I don't lose at least one golf ball, and normally more than that. And that's why I'm grateful that Debbie and Cassie take care of me and buy me golf balls. But when I lose a golf ball, whether it's in the woods or in the weeds, I don't spend much time looking for it. I mean, it takes enough time to play a round of golf, so I don't want to make it longer, nor do I want to hold up the golfers that are playing behind me. But I want you to know today that I have played with some guys who will look for that lost golf ball as if their life depended on it. They don't look for it, they seek it. Okay, you understand where I'm getting here. In fact, I remember playing golf with a guy who hooked his tee shot along this tree line, and he said to me, I think I can find that ball. That's a special ball to me. I seem to be hitting that ball well. Now you gotta understand, he just hooked it into the trees, into the weeds. And he says, I gotta find that ball. He said, I love it. And so we get in the cart and we're going around the corner, and I noticed that for approximately 20 yards out from the tree was nothing but weeds that were as high as the golf cart. Well, I made the comment. I said, well, there's no way you're gonna find that golf ball. That thing's lost. We're not going to find it in weeds that high. Without saying a word, the next thing I know, he's driving the cart right towards the weeds, and in we go. I said, what are you doing as I'm swatting the weeds away from me in the golf cart? He said, I got to find that ball. We spent the next 10 minutes, we even ushered the next group past looking for that ball. Do you think we found it? No, we didn't find it. Are you to understand the difference between looking for something and seeking it? That word for seek in verse 32 means to run after, to demand, to crave with desire, to frantically seek. When your priority in seeking has to do with the temporary things of life, your priority is wrong. Now, I want to read a short passage from the Gospel of Luke that gives us a contrast in focus between a person who is seeking the right thing and one who is not. One who is worried and uptight and the other who isn't. It's found in chapter 10 of Luke, beginning verse 38. Luke writes, now as they were traveling along, he, meaning Jesus, entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. Now, let me just stop here for a moment. This was the same Mary and Martha mentioned in John's gospel as close friends of Jesus, whose brother was Lazarus, who Jesus would later raise from the dead. Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me. Poor Martha. She was, the Bible says, distracted. That word means twisted, agitated, wheeling about. She was running around in circles because of all the things that she thought she had to do. So she interrupts Jesus' teaching to ask for his assistance. Have you ever been agitated? Have you ever been running around in circles, feeling sorry for yourself because you thought you needed help and no one was going to help you? Been there before? I want you to look at how Jesus responded, verses 41 and 42. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted, same word again, by many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now the word for worried here actually means split-minded or double-minded. Jesus was not rebuking Martha for her hospitality. He did not tell her that her service was wrong. He was simply chiding her because she was involving herself in too many things and not realizing the most important thing that was taking place at that moment, which Mary was doing, listening to the teaching of the Son of God. Mary had chosen that which should be our first priority, the opportunity to learn from Jesus. And we must make those opportunities to learn about Jesus a priority in our lives too. And we will if we do what Jesus commands next in verse 33. In this verse, Jesus emphasized the importance of putting first things first. Let's read the verse again. Jesus said, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." Now, here's what I want you to understand about verses 32 and 33. The same Greek root word for seek is used here in verse 33 as in verse 32, except that there it had a prefix denoting a sense of panic, which is what Martha was doing in Luke. In verse 33, that word seek has the sense of coveting earnestly in a good way. So Jesus is saying we are to concern ourselves with, we are to focus on, we are to earnestly desire the furtherance of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we are to be seeking. Now please understand, the New Testament, God's kingdom can also be understood as meaning the church. That is God's kingdom on earth. That means that not only must Jesus have first place in everything, according to Paul, but it naturally follows that his church should be that which we seek first in our priority list. After all, it's the church, it's the people of God. That was the priority for Jesus. Therefore, the church should be the priority for his followers. Even during the first century, soon after the church began, evidently some of God's people were failing to make the church a priority, and that's why Hebrews 10:25 teaches us not abandoning our meeting together, as is the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and the more, all the more, as you see the day drawing near. One preacher tells the story. I debated where to share this, but I'll share it with you. There's a point to be made. He came up and he was talking to this guy and he asked him if he was saved. And the man says, "Yeah, I'm saved." The preacher said, "Well, what church are you a member of?" The man said, "Oh," he said, "I'm not a member of any church." He said, "I'll never be a member of the church." And the preacher said, "Well, why? Why don't you want to be a part of a local church?" His reply was, "That dying thief on the cross wasn't part of a local church and he was saved. Isn't that right?" The preacher said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Well, if you don't belong to a church," he said, "well, how are you helping the kingdom to grow?" He said, "Do you help support missions of some kind?" "Oh, no," he said, the man said. He said, "I don't help missions." He said, I don't help anybody." He said, "That dying thief didn't help missions, and wasn't he saved?" Preacher just shook his head a little bit, realizing he wasn't going to be getting anywhere with this guy. So he says, "Yes, I suppose he was saved, but you must remember that he was a dying thief, whereas you are a living one." Yeah, that's pretty harsh. That's the reason I didn't know if I'd share that or not. I don't think I would have said that to him. But here's the point. It has often been difficult for me to understand how a person can want all the benefits of heaven but want to have nothing to do with the church. The New Testament knows of no instance where a person is saved but not serving in the church in some way. The church is God's kingdom on earth. It is the people who have been born again and adopted into God's family. And together, we are preparing for our heavenly home by serving God here on earth. Does the church have the proper priority in your life? Is that what you're seeking? So Jesus said to put God's kingdom first. Jesus also said to seek his righteousness, meaning God's righteous standard of morality, a divine code of ethics that will affect all of our relationships. I was thinking about this week, that uncertain times often provides an opportunity for Christians to shine. Listen, it's easy to be good when being good serves our purposes. Everybody does that. It's difficult when it doesn't serve our purposes. Sometimes we go through uncertain times because of our faith. But that's when righteousness shines. And the people see you living out your faith despite uncertain times. So the promise from this passage in Matthew chapter 6 is essentially this. Jesus is saying, listen, you look after my deal, I'll look after yours. Don't go through life stressed over stuff that I have already taken responsibility for. Besides, where do you think it all came from in the first place? The talent, the opportunities, the ability to work and provide for family, the breaks you've received. Do you think that was you? Don't worry about your ability to sustain my blessings, Jesus is saying. Seek my kingdom. And I believe he's asking the question now. Is there anybody down there concerned about my kingdom and my righteousness? Is anybody seeking the lost? Is anybody going to talk to their boss, their neighbor, their friend, their family members? Well, it's time to bring this message to a close. What Jesus was doing here was answering the question that was posed in verse 25. What is life all about? What are we to concern ourselves with? And in verse 33, he gives a command. He says, seek. Seek. Then there's the object. What are we to seek? His kingdom, the church, and his righteousness. Then there's a priority. His kingdom and his righteousness are to be first. And then there's a conditional promise. If we do that, all these things, critical, non-critical needs, will be added to you. That's what Jesus said. So to sum it up, Jesus says, don't put second things first and first things second. One preacher has written, the people most aware of God's intervention in their lives are the ones whose agendas are closest to his. I agree with that. You know why that's true? Because they have been seeking him. In uncertainty, we seek. We say, Lord, when I begin worrying about me, I'm just going to offload that onto you. And I'm going to look for ways to further your kingdom. And I'm going to do all I can to practice your righteousness. I'm not going to allow uncertainty to take a toll on my character. Who and what are you seeking? Is Jesus first in your life? Are you seeking the kingdom?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Fraseburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.